We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock.
Hey, what's happening?
And I say, is there a better song to wake up to? Your alarm just went off.
Yes.
And you heard Killing in the Name Of.
I mean, I feel like it starts your day in a very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Aggressive way?
Politically minded way.
Oh, see, I wasn't going there.
Oh, I was just...
I was just fist pumping.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I was thinking of rioting in my city for a political reason.
Oh.
But sure.
Boring.
Same thing.
Yeah, no hit and snooze to that bad boy right there.
That
no.
is right, Muggs.
Thanks, Muggs.
You're up.
You are correct.
You're just up.
Okay.
What's happening on this Friday?
I mean, there's a lot happening, you guys. Baby Yoda.
Oh.
I mean, come on.
So good.
People need Baby Yoda, you guys. Well, Hasbro is getting into the Baby Yoda business. The toy maker is joining the craze for the adorable green scene stealer from The Mandalorian, announcing their own Wave plush dolls that are available for pre-order. But just like the ones that are coming from Mattel, Star Wars fans are gonna have to wait until May to get their hands
what?
On their own Baby Yoda.
I mean, they are really playing catch-up.
They really are. Hasbro's plush dolls include one that talks for $25, a 6.5-inch figure for $20, a bounty collection that includes six different versions that cost $8 each, and one that's part of Hasbro's Black Series of Mandalorian toys. And then the last one comes with a little bone broth bowl.
Oh,
so everyone...
yes.
Everyone can pretend
yes.
he's a little meme.
By
there
the way,
he is sipping it.
Just so it's out there, I think it's kind of weird they have a black series. I mean, they should make them for everyone.
It's just the name of the
name of the series. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. But I appreciate it.
I think it's rude.
Okay. All right. Guys, what do you think is the perfect amount of years to live? When do you want to die, I guess, is what I'm asking you.
Very good question. I think about it a lot as
I'm
a Jewish
sure.
man. I would say 86 sounds strong.
Okay. 86?
Yeah. Anytime
mm-hmm.
before I start pooping in my diapers.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, too late, I guess.
All right. But you're okay with peeing in your diapers?
I made poopy in my diapy.
Peeing is fine.
Okay.
I can live with that.
So you just want all of your bodily functions. You want to be in control
yes.
of all of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I pooped my pants a little.
That seems odd, Muggs.
Yeah, it's weird.
What if it's at 60? What if you just lose your bowels?
But see you later.
All right.
All right.
Fine. Well, Australian scientists have developed a computer algorithm that they say can accurately estimate how long different vertebrates are likely to survive.
Mm.
When looking at humans, our natural lifespan, 38 years. We're only supposed
what?
To live 38 years.
And we're just pushing it now.
This is according to taking all your genetic activity into account, all your DNA. They determined the longest living mammal on Earth is the bowhead whale, which they say can live 268 years. I don't want to be that.
No.
No. But 38, I mean, that's a good age. Just tap out.
To call it a day?
Yeah, oh. Why not? You're still looking good.
I would have already been dead.
Yeah, I got two more years.
Oh, I meant 36.
Oh.
Oh, goodbye, Bugs. Hey, I, honestly, though, what would, like, if you, I mean, I'm sure this is a question that's been asked on many a radio show, but would you want to know?
Yes.
You would?
Absolutely.
Muggs?
I've struggled with that question. Part of me, yes. Part of me, no. Because I think the amount of anxiety leading mm-hmm. up to, like,
yes.
Shoot, one day, here we go. You're
speaking my language.
Yeah,
but
it
brings into question all the people that are like, you've got to live for the moment.
Right.
Do everything you want to when you want to. That's the most important thing. No, I want to know so I know how much time I have to do the cool things. Because if I'm going in 5 years... You think I'm going
to
wake up at 3:30 in the morning to work?
Do radio,
no,
yeah.
I'm going to be walking around Machu Picchu. Where's that?
See, I would do
yeah, I'm not doing that.
I would do the
saying.
Same exact thing. I'd be like, Marriage Stories on Netflix. Even if I had like 3 weeks left. I'm not
really?
I don't think I'd pressure myself.
Come on.
Well, because then every day you think you're going skydiving and that's not who I am.
You gotta live every day like it's your last.
Are you Super Dave?
No, I hate, wish.
I don't want to know.
All right.
Don't want to know.
Okay.
Too scary.
I don't think there's anything scary about it. Death is inevitable, and it's coming for all of us.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Why'd I make a weird claw in a face?
Well,
not
as you
sure.
know, I'm going to die from
That's
a
death.
Cat. Yeah.
Okay. All right, you guys. So the Big Bang Theory star Johnny Galecki is returning to National Lampoon's Vacation, but in a very different capacity. The actor who played young Rusty Griswold in the classic National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which anyone who's smart thinks of as the best Christmas movie. Mm. It's right here in the copy.
Ah.
Yeah, it's weird. Starring with Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo as his parents. He's in early development on a vacation TV spinoff series for the upcoming HBO Max streaming service. The single-camera show is titled The Griswolds and will explore the family's daily lives in the suburbs of modern Chicago. No official order just yet. It's still in the script planning stages at this point.
There's no way they bring Chevy in. There's
like,
no way.
I feel like he has to at least be like the neighbor, like a judgy neighbor that just sees the new guy getting into all the same predicaments. I don't know.
Nah, I don't know.
Or Randy Quaid, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You have two crazies.
Oh, dear.
Right.
Yeah, this, quite the cast.
Hmm.
Again, best Christmas movie, you guys.
But
Christmas
the best, he's not the best Rusty.
Who are you going to say? 16 Candles
guy? Yeah, Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah, no.
I think Supple.
No, Ethan Embry.
Embry. God, yeah, yeah. Ethan Supple was the fat dude.
Well, it seems like
we could definitely
he lost a lot of weight.
Work
yes, he did.
He lost a lot. So he's not fat anymore.
No.
No.
Good job, Bucks. Yeah,
quite the journey.
He's the best Rusty.
Quite the journey.
A lot of Rusties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was Nick Papagiorgio.
Nick Papagiorgio in Vegas, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's my favorite Vegas vacation.
Vegas is your favorite?
Wow, that is a decision. Yeah.
That
Mugs.
Really is.
Put a dollar in, I want a car. Put a dollar in, I want a car. Put a dollar in. I get it, Rusty.
All of them are good. But that's a weird number one pick.
But it's Mugs. He had a gambling issue. He probably looked at it as research. I get it. All right.
He's like, I relate to this guy. this documentary is good.
Maybe that's why I love the Christmas one, because I love Christmas so much, which is your favorite.
Well, I love Vacation for Wally World. I love the original.
You love big raccoon looking things. Was it a raccoon?
No,
what was Wally?
No, it was a moose.
Yeah. Yeah, moose, raccoon. Listen, I'm not good with animals.
I smell like beef, of course.
I still don't. I looked that up. It makes no sense why she even said I like beef in
originally,
the first place.
I know.
I'm so. Oh, now I just hate that kid. Like, at first I was like, it's so cute the way she says it, but now I'm like, there was no point in her saying it.
No, then don't vote for her for president, because she has a great campaign.
All the videos that she does,
she does a
that
lot.
Her mother
wow,
obviously.
Wow, you really went
oh,
deep.
Oh, no, I did a deep dive.
Yeah.
Her,
I can't.
Her and I'm a little toot toot boy need
oh,
a
I love
a
I'm a little toot toot boy.
All right, we're going to check into that soon. Happy birthday, Steve Buscemi, Jamie Foxx, Dick Van Dyke, who is such a
terribly named person. Oh, right, yes.
Well, it's not really the name you'd want growing up as a kid.
No.
Tom DeLonge, Morris Day, and Taylor Swift. It's a big birthday
day. That is a big day.
Also Ted Nugent.
Blah.
And that's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
All right, what else can we talk about before Blippi?
Nothing, because we need to get right to Blippi. We need as much time as possible for Blippi.
Sure?
Why is Omar in here?
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Do either of you know who Blippi is?
No.
Not a clue.
Not a clue? Well, that's why I asked Omar to come in.
Okay.
Omar, how much does Blippi ruin your life?
Blippi was a total nightmare. When I discovered Blippi, I like almost instantly cut him off from my kids.
That's how bad. He's saying that...
Almost instantly.
Yeah.
Are there any other entertainers banned from the house in the child field?
No. They watch, and my kids watch the weirdest stuff, but
right.
Blippi's the only one that I banned.
Like Barney Teletubbies type thing?
Like, sure, sort of.
Kind of, but mixed in with like pedophilia.
Wait, what?
Before we even... He is the most popular children's entertainer in the United States
now. Okay, so children are his audience.
Yes,
100%. So that was disturbing what you just said.
Well,
Omar.
He's more creepy than anything.
Okay.
10 billion views on YouTube since launching the channel.
10 what?
Billion views since launching the channel in 2014. Let's get a quick taste of what Blippi is like. This is him arriving at a bakery.
So much to learn about. It'll make you want to shout. Blippi!
Hey! It's me, Blippi! And today, we're at Lior the Baker's place in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hate him.
And today, you and I are gonna eat a lot of tasty treats. Whoa! Whoa!
Okay. Okay.
He can go straight to hell.
Remember, he's not a cartoon, okay?
Okay?
He's got a very Pee-wee Herman vibe, but he's much more basic and more earnest. It's not a complex bit at all. It's just a,
it's just him being
it's a
all
dude,
excited about stuff.
31-year-old Stephen John. He grew up in Washington State. And
By the way, so did all serial killers.
he made this persona into a multi-million dollar business. He wears an orange bow tie. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Orange suspenders, a two-tone Scally cap, and these oversized orange glasses. That's the entire costume. It's not like
it's not complex at all.
It's not elaborate. No, that's it. He reacts to things and points them out.
Does he have underwear and pants on? You didn't mention that.
Well, he wears pants, but
okay.
I doubt he wears underwear based on how scary this character is. He just reacts to things and points them out. He's slightly educational in a way to say this is what a computer screen is or this is what this is. This is him encountering a large piece of bread in the bakery.
Look at how big these are! Jeez! Look at that! That is massive! We need to get this one.
Okay, I don't like
oh
that
my gosh,
at all.
Yeah. What is that?
And this is like the new incarnation of Blippi. When Blippi first started,
yeah.
It was really him just going to different playgrounds by himself.
Okay.
See, going, I'm a... Whoa!
Yeah, exactly.
And he
would go, hey, look at this yellow slide. Let's go down the slide. Yeah. And that'd be the entire episode.
Were your kids into it at the point you banned it?
Oh, they were...
Were they mad?
No. They I let them watch like three episodes, and I was like, whoa. Let's not watch this. Yeah.
You should also have maybe noticed that he was in the news earlier this year when old YouTube clips of him popped up. This is of Stephen John before he became Blippi. He was kind of like attempted a comedian.
Oh,
and
no.
So he tried to make a Harlem Shake video, and it involved him pooping on his friend.
Okay.
So,
all right.
That was
I'm
back in.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, for reals. There was like a video that came out while he was trying to go viral, and he does the Harlem Shake, and a little bit of poop comes out, and it goes on his friend.
Okay.
Because he's not wearing any pants.
So what?
Yeah, he had to admit that was like an old persona of his, and now Blippi's a whole new thing. And that was the first controversy he ran into.
The first.
This week is the big one, right?
Oh, no.
He announced that Blippi Live would be going on the road for a month. This is a massive deal. This is the first time he's went out on the road.
For what age kids?
The same company that's
one
doing...
One to two?
Yeah, basically, the same company that's doing Baby Shark Live is mm-hmm. doing
okay.
Blippi Live.
All right.
So it's very young. He was going to go 30 cities, starts in San Antonio, ends in Minnesota. So the tickets were expected to sell out immediately. Parents were like rushing to their computer to buy tickets. If Omar hadn't banned it from the house, I'm sure he would have been doing the same thing. So then after they bought the tickets, they started to read the fine print. And now they're furious and all demanding refunds.
What?
It's not Stephen John. He is franchising Blippi out to random people. And
what?
If you go
amazing.
See him live, it's just going to be another person doing Blippi in the costume.
Playing
the character Blippi. He's going to stay at home and make YouTube videos, and around the U.S., random dudes, I'm sure they're not checking well enough, are going out there and playing Blippi in his costume.
All right, so question. The parents care. I assume the kids don't.
I mean, I think at a certain point you'd be like, that's not really Blippi.
Maybe, yeah.
The only way parents even knew is from fine print. So one parent, this woman named Dana Oliver, I'm livid. I spent $400 on six-row tickets and two meet and greets, and now they're going to be meeting some rando. I'm trying to get a refund.
Can I say something?
Yes.
If you're a parent and you bought tickets to Blippi, you deserve this.
Wow.
Because you should not be watching or be any way into Blippi.
I mean, you're not even getting Blippi. You're getting like Blippi 2. It's like when Gallagher's brother started to do Gallagher's Act, which
yeah,
kids, I'm sure, understood that reference.
This seems bogus.
But like, would you even care? Like, would you just go anyway? And if your kids love it, they love it.
I mean, I assume if I have young enough kids, they won't notice either.
Yeah, because their audience is definitely for like 3, 4, and 5. So
okay.
They're not going to notice.
But not 6, 7, 8.
And also,
no.
they think the Santa Mall is the Santa. So, and we all know the real Santa is the North Pole. So,
good.
Wow.
I'm afraid they're for sale. If I'm going with an alleged pedophile,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going with Mr. Rogers, right? Old school.
He was
all soapy. You know, soap suds all over me.
Right.
And then my grandfather would take this hose
and
go like this with me. He'd squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
Right.
So you were playing?
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
Checkmate, Blippi.
It's Kevin and Bean!
K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
Let's talk next door.
Oof. You guys know what next door is, right?
It's, I have Ring. Is it the same thing?
No, it's an app that you basically, you have to apply for your neighborhood mm-hmm. and you get accepted into your specific neighborhood. And it's a way for neighbors to kind of connect with each other.
It's a crime watch thing.
It has turned quite, quite crime watchy. It's a way for them to like keep people safe, like say, hey, just to let you know, my car was broken into last night, that type of
yeah.
thing. It could be used for great stuff. Everything from, oh my God, my dog got out the other day. If any of you seen him, then you post a picture and people are like, oh my gosh, that's a dog I've had in my house for 2 days. His name's Jimmy. Let me give him back to you. Or, hey, found these keys on Oak Street. Do they belong to anyone? Did you drop them on a walk? Oh my God, I've been looking for those. Great. But it also turns into, oh, I've been seeing this guy on a bike every day this week going up and down our street. I think he's casing the street. And then some guy will write back and go, I'm exercising. That's me. Like, everyone just calm your teeth.
I do it every day because that's how you should exercise.
That's how you exercise on a bike.
I will tell you, Allie, because Ring has the exact same neighborhood feature. So uh-huh. I know exactly what you're talking about now. I will tell you that most of the posts that I see are people who freak out mm-hmm. if somebody is in front of their house.
Yes.
If somebody is in the public street in front of their house,
yeah.
they are convinced that that's a person who's coming in to rob them
Absolutely.
Or burn their place to
what,
the ground.
What percentage of it would you say is helpful versus not helpful?
Can I say none?
Lately, not so much.
Not much.
But I did log on September 3rd, and I saw a thread that floored me. Here is my tweet about it. An argument on my next door feed has resulted in a neighbor Googling another neighbor, finding video of him doing comedy at an open mic night, and posting it to shame him. If you need me, I'll be refreshing that thread until I die. You guys, this was a thread.
It's a real thing that happened.
About somebody leaving a shopping cart on the street.
Wasn't me.
And who do we call? Who picks it up? This has gotten absurd. If it's, you know, a homeless person's shopping cart, you don't want to take the stuff out of it. If you do, wear gloves. If you don't, shouldn't Garcetti be doing more about this? Who do we call? This, that, and the other thing. But then it got just into argument over argument.
Serious arguments.
Of serious yeah. arguments about, well, I pay taxes. This is absurd. And then the next person, you need to have empathy for the homeless. And then, oh, you bleeding heart liberals. You're the reason LA is going
God.
To. It's just...
By the way, if there's one thing we've learned from the internet comments on any topic, it takes 4 or 5 posts before somebody either mentions Trump or
yes.
Hitler.
Yes.
It devolves very quickly, even though you're talking about something that has nothing to do with either.
Absolutely. I will just say the two people beefing the most, we'll call her Becky.
Okay.
And we'll call him Joe.
All right.
And Becky took it upon herself after having multiple arguments in this thread with Joe to Google his first and last name, find said video of him at an open mic night.
So they're neighbors.
Uh-huh.
But they don't talk face to face. They only go through the
app.
Next door app. Okay.
I don't know anybody on the app that lives by me.
Okay.
And I don't know if people are using fake names or what it is, but I sure as heck am using a fake name now after
All right.
this.
What's your fake name?
Can't tell you.
Okay.
Maybe it's Becky. Maybe it's me. No, so this woman posted a video of him at an open mic night. Yeah, was Joe great? Was he solid? No, he's working through some stuff.
He shouldn't be
on
yet, though.
Stage. No. But
that's a cheap shot.
It turned on Becky.
Oh.
Becky thought she was going to get some points. Like, oh, look at Joe. Like, what a D-bag. Look
Nailed
at him.
It.
Nope. People were like, wow, now I know that my neighbor Becky's an a-hole. Wow,
oh.
what's wrong with you, Becky? So it changed from everyone arguing about a shopping cart to homeless to Republicans to liberals to we all hate Becky. So I checked back. Becky has been removed from our neighborhood
what?
App. So
they kicked
I
her
didn't
out?
Know this. You can report someone, and then whoever the lead is in that community goes through it and decides whether they ban them or not. So I clicked on Becky. And it says, Becky is no longer part of, and then what my neighborhood is. And I was like, oh, damn, Becky. That was a bad move on your part. First of all, you were a bitch. Second of all,
they booted her out.
Now who are you, like, shaming? Where are you? Probably Facebook.
They have to make this movie. They have to.
It was the most L.A. thing I have ever seen in
and
my
all,
life.
It all started because Kevin left a shopping cart.
I didn't leave a shopping cart.
Might have
me.
Been Kevin.
How dare you?
There is a very funny Twitter account that I know you're aware of, Allie, mm-hmm. called Best of Next Door.
Amazing.
And it is great. For instance, I left the front door open and my beloved Roomba escaped. Can't believe I'm posting this, but I thought it's worth a try, is one. Another one. Parakeet. My husband found a dead parakeet in our driveway this morning. If your parakeet is missing, then stop looking for it. It's not coming home.
Wow. That's harsh.
Need to rehome a dog. Small terrier tends to bark a lot. If interested, let me know and I'll jump over my neighbor's fence and get it for you. So that's Best of Next Door. But Allie, please keep us posted on whether Becky gets back into the group.
And I'll know if she uses a different name because she has very specific writing. I'm
is
on
that
to you,
right?
Becky.
Wow.
I'm on to you.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Like to lodge a formal complaint? Who do I do that to?
What's your complaint about, Kevin?
Animal stories. I do not enjoy the upcoming stories because I know one of them, and I would like to object.
I think that you are going to love the first one, and you will also never use a toilet again. Hit it, Steve.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories. To cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
Oh, sorry, we're out of time.
It's a great batch of animal stories this week. The first two are coming from Australia, where it seems like there are a lot of different ways that animals can kill you. Kevin, you say it's your biggest fear. Do you turn on the light and look in the toilet every time you use it?
No, I have sort of broken myself of that. I just sort of realized, look, just
what are the chances?
What are the chances?
You look when you're done, though.
Sure, to admire.
Yeah.
Well, you take a picture and put it on Instagram.
Yeah, sure.
Here's your biggest fear.
If you are one of those people who doesn't turn on the light when you get up to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, this next story might change things for you. This is Mary Richards from Queensland, Australia. Last week, she walked into her dark bathroom and sat down on the toilet.
Nope.
Seconds later, this happened.
Felt this sharp tap on my bottom, along with some pain.
By the way, she sounds very peppy for
right?
someone who has just been bitten.
Just a sharp tap.
A tap, yes.
I enjoyed it.
Tap on the bottom, if you didn't make that out. It turns out that sharp tap was actually a bite from a python that had been curled up in the toilet bowl.
Let's all stop and think and reflect and bemuse on that.
New.
A python curled up in her toilet.
No, sir. Nope.
In my bottom. It was pretty glorious.
She seems so happy.
Recovering from the shock, Richards shut the lid and called in professional snake handlers. Unbelievably, they told her that it's not uncommon for snakes to sneak into people's toilets down under. However, they admitted it was rare that one actually bit a sitting human, saying the python was likely more frightened than Richards was.
No.
I guess, you know, they've had a terrible heat wave in Australia this year. And, you know, the snakes are just looking for a place to go that's just cool. And I guess just being in some water and being in the porcelain and everything like that is just a comfortable place for you to be.
No way. Not ever.
It sounds like you're not on board.
Oh, God, no.
A tourist in Australia has gone viral after posting a video of himself holding a blue-ringed octopus, but it has not gone viral because the animal is beautiful. The blue-ringed octopus, you guys, news to me, is one of the most venomous creatures in Australia. The unnamed tourist is lucky to be alive.
He was holding it?
Yes, he found one on the beach and said, oh, look how cute this little octopus is.
Hey, look, everybody.
Yes. The chilling video, over the weekend, Australians started to point out how dangerous it was to handle the blue-ringed octopus. Commenters shared their own stories about the animal, which reportedly carries enough venom to kill 26 full-grown adults in a span of minutes.
Oh, what? My God.
Is this Jackie Chan?
The venom of the blue-ringed octopus, which, again, I've never heard of before, contains a neurotoxin called tetrodotoxin. It causes paralysis. The sting is so small that most people have no idea they've been poisoned until too late. And here's the best part. There is no anti-venom available.
Yes. What the heck?
The only known treatment is to massage the victim's heart until the venom works its way throughout a person's body in a matter of hours, if you can survive that long.
Hey, everybody, look at this.
Look what I got.
What must it have been like for that guy to post that photo and then start getting all of those comments like, dude, you're an idiot. That thing could kill you.
Dude, he did it for the gram.
I guess he did. Here's one of my favorite stories of 2019. I don't know why they decided to do a DNA test on this orangutan that was born in the Basel Zoo in Switzerland. Little five-month-old Padma is part of an endangered species breeding program. They did a DNA test on her after she was born and found out that the male orangutan that lives in the enclosure with his mother is not the father.
What?
Maja, his mom, had gotten pregnant from an orangutan named Vendel, an 18-year-old male who lives in an adjacent enclosure. Somehow, she stepped out on the boy that's in her enclosure and managed to do it through the fence with the next-door neighbor.
Oh, you have to admire that, right? Come on.
Is that unbelievable?
Slow clap.
Then they went on Maury. You are not the father.
I mean, you've got a male and a female. They have a baby, and then they found out that that male in that enclosure, the only one available to the woman or the girl, as it at least they thought was not the father.
Nah, the fence, man.
That is
the fence
right through the fence.
Wow,
that dude's a baller next door.
Yeah,
right.
That kid's going through it though.
Right. And finally, I'm not going to have much luck with the pronunciation here, but her name is Kamirjira Klongzanan. She was 7 miles into a marathon in western Thailand when she saw the runners around her dodging a puppy in the road. She stopped on the side of the road during the marathon and coaxed the dog over to her. There were no houses nearby, so she thought, wow, maybe this puppy was abandoned. She just did not want to leave it behind, so she picked it up and carried it the next 19 miles of the marathon.
That puppy was probably a half a mile from home, and then she picks it up and takes it 19 miles further.
Yes, that puppy was just stepped out of its yard. She ran 19 miles holding a puppy under her arm, by the way. She says, again, it seems to her that the little guy was lost. There were no houses. There were no other dogs. There were no other people around. She thought it was an unsafe environment. Running almost 20 miles carrying a dog was truly a challenge. It was 2 times more tiring than a normal marathon, but I did it anyway because he was just so adorable. I know it takes a lot of time for a new dog with checkups and vaccinations and treatments, but I'm glad I was able to save him.
She stole the dog.
She stole him.
She did.
She thinks she's some sort of a hero for right. running a marathon with a puppy. She stole some poor kid's dog.
There's signs up all over on the post. Hey, have you seen this dog?
But that dog is 20 miles away by now. This has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
K-R-O-Q.
I think it was just last week we did Who's the Dick with Kevin?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think we determined mostly that you were not the dick, didn't
well,
we?
Well, only that I determined that I was the dick early enough in the story to change it.
He saved himself, yeah.
He saved himself.
Dick adjacent.
I was a dick at one point in that story.
I think we did
crazy.
I think the ruling was dick adjacent. That's true.
Yes.
All right. Well, give me the reverb here because it's time once again for Kevin and Bean's Who's the Dick? And this time it's Jensen's story.
Right. That's right.
Jensen. I rule Jensen is the dick.
Well, guys, a little early.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
A little early. Got to tell you the story first.
All right.
So here's the thing. I was walking my dog, and there's a lot of squirrels and rabbits in my neighborhood, and my dog always, as all dogs, become very attracted to these things. So they race at them. And so there was a time I saw a squirrel in my driveway. Mm-hmm. And,
squirrel!
And Brunch, my dog, started to pull.
Your dog's name is Brunch.
He's so white, I named him Brunch. Right. And the dog started to pull me towards the squirrel. And I was like, oh, let that squirrel be. And then I was like, oh, that squirrel is really chilling. Like, just sort of sitting there. Brunch didn't scare him at all. Mm-hmm. And so I got closer, and the squirrel is in perfect normal position, like mm-hmm. like any squirrel, just on its feet, just sort of laying there. And I go, oh, that squirrel's dead.
Oh,
that squirrel's dead. So I said, okay, I'll walk Brunch, and then I'll come back, and since it's on my driveway, I will clean it off my driveway. Mm-hmm. He's dead. So we come back, I put Brunch inside, and I look closer, and there's blood.
Oh.
The squirrel's in perfect condition. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he's literally almost like cheesecake posing a little. Like, it's like he's in a perfect position.
Okay.
Like a senior photo.
Yes.
Hands
like a
under the
yeah, like a squirrel
chin.
Senior
okay.
photo. And
that's a weird. Wow. That's a weird way to end up when you die.
Extremely.
Unless he just literally just died of organ failure, old age, and just like laid down
while
and
taking a senior picture.
No, yeah. In other words, rather than some sort of a trauma or anything like that, it's
but
almost like
there's
he just
blood.
There's blood, but not on him at all. Just around his like mouth area, like he coughed up blood.
Oh,
right.
God.
And it's startling, very very startling.
Yeah.
Poor
it,
dude.
It looked rough. So I go inside. I tell Danielle, and she goes, "Well, we don't really have, you know, maybe one of your shoe boxes," which is difficult for me to do. But I was like, you know what? It's a grave. Let's do it. So I go upstairs. I cannot do it. I physically can't.
You can't pick which shoebox to take.
No. I get the shoebox. I cannot take. The squirrel's too normal. It looks alive, right? It looks.
But you know it's not?
I don't know. I can't really tell why. Who dies like that? Who dies in normal position? And so I'm thinking to myself, maybe he's going to live. I don't want to pick him up. Danielle goes,
you couldn't tell for sure he was dead?
Not really, no.
You didn't poke him?
No, that would be awful.
Well, if you poked him and all of a sudden he was like, oh, thanks for that, and he ran away.
Then that would be a happy ending to this story.
Feel the pulse in his neck, nothing?
Guys, there was
blood. Did you give him mouth to mouth?
There was blood all around his body. It was like he was sacrificed by pagans.
Okay, I'm telling you he was dead, and I didn't even see him, and I could tell he was dead.
I assumed he was dead, but
devil
I thought
worshipping squirrels. But offered him up.
But also, to be honest, I was also chickening out a little. I he was too normal. It was like I would have moved his body, and it just didn't feel right.
So wait a second here. So if his head had been cut off, he would have been fine with going out and picking up the pieces.
Yeah,
but because
much
he was in one piece, you couldn't deal.
Yes.
He was too normal.
This is weird, you guys. You're the dick.
No, well, hold on. Don't make a decision yet.
Okay.
And so I said to Danielle,
you go do it, honey.
Well, I thought about that. Instead, I go, you know what? I'm going to do it in the morning. Because then,
just to give him a fighting chance?
Yeah, to give him a fighting chance. So I was like, I'm going to. And so I text my mom at the same time, and I go, Mom, she is coming over in the morning to help with the baby. And I go, do you have a shovel? And she goes,
wow.
A big shovel? I go, yeah, a big one. She goes, are we burying somebody? I said, no, I need it for the squirrel in the front. She goes, okay, no problem.
I like that that's your mom's guess, though.
Yeah, she figured we were going to kill kill Danielle or something. And my mom goes, why don't you leave out water in case he is alive, and that way he'll go to it when he wakes up. I go, no, I'm too tired. So I went to bed. I knew he was dead. Okay. And so
you knew he was dead, then why are you pausing and waiting overnight?
I felt weird picking up what looked alive. He looked,
but
I don't know.
You just said you knew it was dead.
I'd hope so.
He wanted to sleep on it.
Okay.
And so I wake up in the morning, and he's still there in the same pose, same senior photo. And
it's a hell of a nap he's taking.
And I go, you know what? Not now. I'll do it when I get home. Yeah, I'll do it when I get home. I'm too big. I got to get to work. It's 4 a.m. And so I get in the car, drive off, make sure not to run him over again. My mom goes, okay, I'll see you in a little. I'll have the shovel. I go, great.
It's not what you want to hear from your mom ever.
Right.
I have the shovel.
My mom texts me and goes, just got to the house. We have the shovel. He's gone.
The squirrel's gone.
Squirrel's gone. So I assume he's alive, or maybe I was right the whole time. But the truth is, I'm being told that he was most likely picked up by a bird. Right.
Oh, I see. Oh.
What do you mean you're being told by the other squirrels in the neighborhood?
Yeah. All the pagans. No.
He's got his ear to the street. He knows what's going on.
A lot of people are like, those things get picked up all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's a food source at that point.
Yeah. So now here's a couple questions I have. One.
You're a complete baby. Is that a question?
I don't think that's up for
who's
debate.
Who's the baby?
I know that's true.
Jensen.
I chickened out while trying to pick up a dead squirrel. But I wonder, did I now poison a bird?
Oh, because you think the squirrel may have died via poison rather than just old age.
He looked like the squirrel equivalent of in a movie when a guy who's sick coughs into a towel and it leaves a red mark. That's what it was like around him on the driveway.
That uranium radiation
bad.
Poisoning.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Well, does somebody have poison out for the squirrels? I hope not.
I mean, wouldn't you think that there's rat poison or something out in someone's yard that he
I would
guess
that
could happen.
I
the odds
sure.
are likely
guess
that
so, yeah.
it's somewhere in the area. So I ask you, did I not only allow a squirrel to die in cold blood, like a Johnny Cash song about squirrels,
mm-hmm.
or did I also poison a bird that came to pick him up?
Because you were too weak.
Correct. Too much of a chicken to pick up a...
I'm ready to rule on too weak. That's what we're ruling on, or no?
No, it's dick or not.
I mean, we don't have any way of knowing that there was poison involved.
Correct. Well,
honestly, I think you could sleep at night not being convinced that you poisoned a bird who picked up the squirrel, because there's no real reason to suspect that he was poisoned. There are lots of things that could have gone
wrong.
His
little arm was tied off, though, and he had a needle in it.
He's a junky squirrel.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Dumb.
In Tonawanda, New York, a woman is facing charges after police say she called 911 asking how she could kill her boyfriend.
Well, if you don't know how to kill a person, you need some advice, Kevin.
But do you call 911? What do you think, go to YouTube?
Yeah, I would call 411. What's the info?
Zelda Cotton, 54 years old, is charged with endangering the welfare of an elderly person who was her boyfriend at a spry 76 years old.
Was it Ruben?
That's a great question. They also said that she had faked hitting her boyfriend four times with a VCR tape. That's all that had happened so far. Then she called 911 and asked, hey, how do I kill him? And, of course, the police show up and they arrest her and... And his life is so much better now.
Who has a VHS tape, by the way?
I know, really.
That's what I was thinking. Well, then he's 76.
Yeah, I guess so.
And he's got an 8-track.
Yeah. Oh, my
who knows?
God.
A man who says he fled an Austrian prison over a decade ago has turned himself into police. He left, he escaped, and he went to Spain's Canary Islands. Uh-huh. And he lived there for 10 years. Police said the 64-year-old carrying two suitcases went to police at a railway station and said, I'm a prisoner. I escaped 10 years ago, and you should probably arrest me.
What?
Wait, after 10 years.
Why?
Here's what he said. Tenerife, which is the exact island that he was on, it's not as nice as it used to be. And he'd lived there long enough.
So we ready to go to prison?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Free rent, you know free what? Food.
It's been nice.
I get it, yeah.
It's been nice, but it's going downhill.
Yeah.
So...
Plus, life on the run is hard. I know from experience.
The next story is out of Akron, Ohio. Police say they identified a woman who robbed a Northeast Ohio video store. This is really old school stories.
Well, yeah, what's going on? Is this the 80s?
Because she walked in and she wanted the woman to pull up her account.
Okay.
So she gave the woman her phone number, which the account is listed under. Then she went and browsed for a little bit. Then she went back and put a note saying, I have a weapon. Give me all of your money.
Oh, my God. At a video store?
Yes, but she already
has all her info.
Why would you rob them?
She already gave them her phone number. So she called the police. The police called her. They tracked her down, and they arrested her.
This is people are dumb, right?
People are very dumb, yes. This is a bizarre story, and it comes out of Delano, Florida. By the way, almost all stories come out of Florida.
Yeah,
almost
true.
All of my people are dumb, and all of Bean's, what's up with Florida?
Mm-hmm.
It's a crazy state. Authorities say a 72-year-old Florida man repeatedly stabbed his nephew because... Anyone? Stabbed his nephew because...
He ate his cereal.
He stole his lawnmower.
The VHS machine wasn't working.
Great guess.
He was taking too long in the bathroom.
Oh, sure, man. Sure, well, sure. When you got to go, I feel that guy.
Stabbed him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you got to go.
It checks out. Yeah.
Sheriff deputies arrived Tuesday to find the 29-year-old. So the guy's 72. The 29-year-old is his nephew who has been able to live in his car in the man's driveway. But then can also use the restroom.
Yeah, that old dude was fed up with this guy. There's,
right?
Yeah, there's so many issues there. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
A lot of resentment.
Apparently, when the police arrived, this guy had wounds in his stomach and back.
Oh,
like,
God.
This 72-year-old was going.
He went to town, right?
Oh, I mean, how bad do you have to go?
Oh, man.
That's insanity. And finally, armed carjackers stopped by stick shift. Flee on foot. This story comes out of Dallas. An armed hijacker in South Oak Cliff went south when the alleged thieves after the Dallas police showed up, and he was unable to drive a stick shift. Have you ever driven a stick shift?
I have.
Okay. And you know when you let out the clutch.
Oh, it dies.
You give it a little gas.
Right. Oh, right.
That's the key. You just have to give it a little gas.
Yeah.
If you just pop the clutch, it dies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this guy, I'll play some news for you, and then I'll describe in detail exactly what was happening.
Well, Doug and Kaylee, all those police officers actually just left the scene. Once again, reopening this road here in South Oak Cliff. But just a few minutes ago, that Mustang GT, this investigation all surrounded, sat outside this home, and the thieves actually didn't get too far with it because they couldn't drive it. Now, police tell us the owner of the Mustang had just parked when two men approached. They manned the car at gunpoint. A fight broke out, and the victim ended up being grazed in the leg. He's fine, but police say when the suspects tried to speed off, they didn't know how to drive stick shift and kept stalling. Now, investigators say the suspects in this case eventually gave up after they couldn't actually get it into gear.
They couldn't?
Yeah.
Drive away.
That's hilarious.
Those two carjackers were definitely millennials.
And so everybody there standing around going, hey, dudes, get out of the car.
And then they'd stall.
Awesome.
They literally couldn't drive it away.
I wish there was footage of this.
Same.
So bad.
I do too. And that is...
dumb.
These DJs are superstars.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Craig Kilborn.
Yes.
Used to do the Late Late Show at CBS, correct?
Even more than that, he was the original Daily Show host.
Mm-hmm.
He was on SportsCenter. He was one of the more memorable SportsCenter anchors.
Mm-hmm.
You saw him in the movie Old School.
He always seemed to me to be one of the smartest of all the late night hosts.
That's what it would have appeared. I think that's a good assumption. You know, mm-hmm. he sort of had a bunch of very educated writers, and they kind of worked on a higher level than most late night TV.
And was Old School the last thing we
pretty much
saw him in?
Yeah.
Yeah, the last real public thing. I mean, it's very rare for somebody to be in a high-profile series of television jobs and then just vanish.
Yes.
And I also, by the way, and I know we're going to get into, he's back in the news now because of his Instagram account, but I also can't figure out the money. Like, how do you walk away from the network in 2004
mm-hmm.
and have enough money to still be retired?
Yeah, it's all real questionable.
Hmm.
The life of Craig Kilborn is very, very odd. And now he has jumped into Instagram full speed, just completely jumped into the deep end. And this is after being pretty much absent from the public eye for years. And
Jensen told me he's a weirdo. You need to look at his Instagram. And he sure is.
And he follows you now.
Yeah, he does.
And
yes.
he comments on your stuff.
Yes, he does.
He does for me, too. I love it.
For those who don't know Craig Kilborn, his character and his real persona are sort of very blurred. He kind of plays this aristocrat, elitist. But is that Craig Kilborn or is that a character? That's kind of a thing that's gone back and forth his whole career. So on Instagram now, he's releasing these videos that he edits himself. And he puts a lot of time into them. But boy, it really does not help the conundrum that is Kilborn. I pulled some clips. This first one gives you an overall feel of what it's like to follow Craig Kilborn. This one talks about his shoes.
Well, hello there. Every few months, I like to go into my closet and admire my extensive shoe collection. When I was doing the old show, I received an obscene amount of complimentary footwear, including these beautiful derby shoes by Prada, chocolate brown. I've never worn them before outside of my house. I'm thinking about debuting them this summer up at the new Rosewood Miramar Beach Hotel in Montecito. You're saying, Craig, they're not very beachy. Ladies and gentlemen, how should I put this? I have never in my life sipped white wine wearing tennis shoes. And I don't feel like I've missed out on anything.
Okay. I love him so much.
You crazy. Gotta wonder, how did that not work on late night TV?
Yes. I mean, that's great, but what's the end game? You don't put that much effort into just your Instagram.
I love that little background music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, he edits that in later. He does dissolves a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he clearly has a mission on Instagram, and they asked him why he started it in an interview, and he said it was because his nieces saw a picture of him holding a martini glass wearing, like, a vest and tie, and they were like, you got to go on Instagram.
That's pretty strong.
And he was like, and then you got to follow your producers. And so now he's on it. You also, every one of these are shot from like a lounge, and he's always holding sort of an alcohol glass, a scotch glass, and it just seems like he's living the life of like a 90-year-old heir to like some sort of empire.
Yeah, this is all shot from his house in Hancock Park.
Yeah.
Like, he lives the life.
Mm. Yeah, of sort of a retiree, like Boca Raton resident.
And apparently he has another house out in the desert, too.
Yes, so he does go to Palm Springs as well.
Yeah, so Craig's doing fine.
How long has Craig Kilborn been like this? The second clip tells you about what he was like in high school.
When I was in high school, my classmates would listen to REO Speedwagon and Foghat. I would hang out with dear old father. We eat a can of smoked oysters and listen to Dean Martin and Mr. Nat King Cole. Yes, the magic happened early.
This next one is a story. He asked a minute-long story about David Bowie.
Late 80s, I'm living in Venice, California. It's the middle of the day. I'm reading a David Bowie biography. I need to take a break. I go to the Beverly Center. That's what we did back then. As I'm walking around, I see a beautiful woman wearing a short skirt with very toned legs. She's walking with this gentleman. They go into B. Dalton Bookseller. I follow them. Ladies and gentlemen, it's David Bowie. The woman is the lead dancer for the Glass Spider Tour. Wow. I was seeing one of my heroes, if just for one day. What an odd place to see Bowie. A place oddity. I went outside into the serious sunlight. I returned to Venice, put on a dress, and finished my book. I'm kidding. It was a bodysuit.
What's happening? What's happening?
He's straight crazy.
Remember,
he's such a delight.
The host of the Late Late Show now is James Corden, who sings with you in a car.
Yes.
It's a completely different vibe.
Yes.
So the day that, remember, this guy, Craig Kilborn, played college basketball, I believe. He was very good, and sports was what he first came up in for SportsCenter. So when he talks about basketball a lot, he's a humongous Minnesota Timberwolves fan, because that's where he's originally from. But the day that Kawhi Leonard got traded, he posted a video celebrating for Toronto. And I know that Kevin's not going to like this, but this is how it started.
Oh, we are drinking early today, my friends, and I say, Kawhi not.
That's pretty good. And so he congratulates the Raptors for their championship. And this is a footnote he gives Canada at the end of the clip.
And while I have you, my issue with hockey is the same as soccer. Too many turnovers. Congratulations.
I have watched these videos multiple times, and he delights me. And you have to watch him because, A, he winks in a lot of them.
Yes.
And he has like a little glistening, like the bloop that he adds in when he winks. Oh, it is fantastic.
Hey, you know what just occurred to me? Kevin, is this the late night show that you and I were on as guests? Did we go on Kilborn?
It feels on brand.
I think so.
We were on one of them. Was it Kilborn?
Now that you bring that up, I think so.
I think we were, and he was delightful. He was super nice to us, too.
Honestly,
why would he have had us on? It makes no sense.
I think he was hurting for guests, but still super fun. But yeah, what a weirdo.
Yeah, and you can follow him at Mr. Craig Kilborn. I believe it's a bit of a renaissance for the man. But boy, is he weird. So follow him.
Cool, why not?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7. It's coming up on 8 o'clock on a Friday, or a Friday to those who celebrate.
Friday. Thank you.
So it's our favorite What's Happening of the Week. Allie, that's my jam time.
It is. Here's the thing. We don't pick the songs that we play here on K-Rock.
Really?
Sure, we love a lot of it. We don't as much as most. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
We all have very varied musical tastes.
Yeah.
So we decided a while ago to come up with a Spotify mix called That's My Jam, where every week a member of the Kevin and Bean Show, and by a member, all members of the Kevin and Bean Show, pick a song that they're currently into. Maybe it's something that just came out, or maybe it's something that came across their playlist, but it makes you go, yeah, that's my jam. So we put it on every single week. There's over 100 songs on there right now. 5 hours and 32
Whoa.
Minutes of
Damn,
music.
Son, where'd you get that?
All right.
It's on many playlists.
You can
playlists.
Find it at Kevin and Bean on all of our social media. It is called That's My Jam. And then on Friday around this time, we like to play some of our picks. So let's start off first with Jensen.
Well, I was going to select this song, and I didn't. But just remember it.
Took the world by storm.
This is Sandy Bainum with a song called This Christmas. Let's keep it going.
This Christmas, I'll be lighting a menorah, singing dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. Santa won't be coming to your house, but I'll be there and honorary Jew.
Even the way she says
it's just
Jew.
Aggressive.
Hard J there.
Aggressive.
That's Sandy Bainum, This Christmas. So many people reached out to me on social media asking about that song.
Yeah.
I want to remind you, it is completely earnest. It is not like a Weird Al song.
No.
It is like a true Christmas song, Sandy Bainum, This Christmas.
Well, it's a true Hanukkah song.
Right. Well, she's dating a Jew.
With a hard J.
Hard J on it. All right. My real pick is a song from my high school years, early college years. A band that a lot of people know. They were out of Berlin, Atari Teenage Riot. They were awesome. This sort of like left-wing anarchist, politically driven EDM, I guess like thrash band.
Yeah.
Almost like no one had ever heard before. And they were geniuses. Alec Empire was lead singer. He passed away a few years ago. But I listen to this song all the time. I love it. We used to play it at parties to like ruin the dance floor. This is Atari Teenage Riot with Speed.
Wow.
I'm so bummed I wasn't ever able to see Atari Teenage Riot perform live. I wish I would have.
I feel like it's very different from your all
Normal
be
picks?
Celebrating.
Celebrate. Well, they're both pro-Jew.
Oh, yeah, I didn't
know.
Okay.
Them are about dating a Jewish man.
Wasn't
both
aware
songs,
of that. Okay.
Speed and This Christmas.
All right. Since Kevin's already on vacation and so is his brain, even though we reminded him multiple times, hey, send in your song. He's pretending he doesn't know us. We're blocked from his email.
What?
Right
I'm
now.
Not the whiskey. What? Not the Roxy, the whiskey.
So, Beer Mug, you're up. What is your song?
Well, I'm really honored right now because this is my first.
Just get to it.
Okay. For all you metalheads out there, this is from a band with the best metal name, in my opinion, ever. It's Five Finger Death Punch. And they've been around since 2005. They've released 6 studio albums since then. They have a 7th one coming out in February. And I heard this song off that upcoming album called Fate. And Five Finger Death Punch is a band that they have a lot of metal qualities to them. They have heavy, thrash, melodic, alternative, hard rock. Mm-hmm. And I heard this song. I was like, yeah, I like it. We're missing a little bit of rock on K-Rock. It's not K-Rap. It's K-Rock. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So this is my That's My Jam pick, Five Finger Death Punch, Inside Out. Split lip!
A split!
Wow.
Mosh pit in the country club with the swish swish.
Five Finger Death Punch in the Cleaners Country Club with an old Suey hit me in the space.
Suey.
Very serious.
Suey.
Very serious.
I didn't get corrected on Twitter, which I'm surprised about, uh-huh. but I did. Alec Empire didn't die. Carl Crack died, the other guy in Atari TV.
Wow. Carl Crack.
What do you know?
I haven't looked at Twitter yet, but I guarantee uh-huh. someone's like, it's me, Alec Empire. I'm alive.
Oh,
he,
man.
The other co-founder, Carl Crack, dead. Also, with the name Carl Crack, how do you think he died?
He stepped on a crack.
His mother broke her back?
No.
No?
Speed? Crack? Coke?
Drugs and alcohol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for updating us with that happy news. Mine comes from a band that most of us know, formed in the late 70s. They're called The Specials. They've been around forever. They've had breakups. They've had new members. They, too, have had death.
Oh.
I'm not going to name the alive one, though.
Okay.
But in February, they were back with a new album called Encore, which debuted at number one on the UK albums chart. That's their first chart-topping album since 1980, you guys.
Wow.
A lot of time in between.
3 years before I was born.
Split lamp!
Split lamp!
Wow. What is happening? But they are a blast, and I feel like I picked this song because it reminds me of Halloween for some reason, and you guys know how much I love Christmas, but I might love Halloween just a smidge more. And it's The Specials with The Lunatics.
I see the faces of starvation, but I just cannot see the point, 'cause there's so much food here today that no one wants to take away.
The lunatics have taken over the asylum. The lunatics have taken over the asylum.
Basically, I'm so excited for Halloween.
I really love that song, Allie. And I love the specials.
I know.
I love the specials. I'm glad that the lunatics are is new because Ghost Town reminds me of Halloween.
Yeah.
And I just, every time I hear it, I feel like I'm walking down like old 1920s Hollywood and I see Boris Karloff's The Mummy smoking a cigarette.
We're out of time, Mux. Okay.
Also, I just realized it's not Carl Crack who died.
Oh my God.
No, I'm
again.
Kidding. Carl Crack is dead. He's dead.
Guys.
Split lip!
Guys.
Steve Heroin is alive.
Guys.
Their guitarist.
You can find it at Kevin and Bean on all of our social media. Again, you've got over 5.5 hours of music. Just press the follow button. Listen to it on shuffle. You're going to have a great drive ahead of you if you play that playlist. You guys, it's a wonderful day. Let's just get out of here. Oh, we've got
still
more
early.
Hours?
We got two hours. Yeah. Still a little early.
That's what's happening.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
This phone topic could go south, but we're going to try. We're going to try and steer it to the funny side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell you the personal story that I have. My dad was in the hospital for, I don't know, maybe a month before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on a machine that was keeping him alive and helping him breathe and stuff like that. And he would come to maybe, you know, once a day at some point. And so at one point, like 2 days before he passed away, he sort of woke up and looked over at me. And my dad was a huge Phoenix Suns fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why I would tell him this while he's being kept alive by a machine.
Oh, we got some time together. I got something to tell you.
But I did say, Dad, Shaq has been traded to the Suns. And he looked confused, and then he shook his head no.
Like, no, he didn't want it, or no, I don't believe it.
No, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Or no, why are you wasting this time together by telling me NBA rumors?
Maybe that's what he meant. I don't know. So then I said it again. No, seriously, like, it's already done. Shaq is on the Suns.
Okay.
And again, he shook his head no.
Uh-huh.
And then he went to sleep.
Forever?
And that was literally.
Wait, those were his last words.
Literally.
Last time he spoke to me.
My last words to my dad.
Oh.
Now we're not necessarily, it doesn't have to be your last words. Maybe
it's close.
Yes, if it's close.
Deathbed stuff.
But what a weird, I mean, we had many conversations where it's like, I love you, I'm proud of you, back and forth. But that was, those were my last words.
Yeah, you can't pick and choose what the last one is.
No. Which are absurd.
Yeah.
So Shaq killed your dad.
I mean, I don't know that that's true. I mean, okay. I think
he was terrible on the Suns.
He was terrible
on the Suns. To your dad's
credit.
Knew.
Yeah, to your dad's credit.
So
I don't want to live through this.
Wait, he was like, it's too late in his career. We should have got him earlier.
Do you think that's what ended it all?
No, of course not.
He didn't want to see the Suns with Shaq.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're looking at funny last words.
Yes.
It doesn't have to necessarily be stupid like mine was.
Even
it also
last conversations.
Doesn't have to be the last conversation. Yeah. Conversations that were ridiculous or funny in some way.
Yeah, right. Like I've referenced mine a little bit in the past, and that's that my dad, we also had a long time to talk and a lot of beautiful conversations about life and growing up and all these things. And then one time he just gave me this gem. While on life support, basically, at the hospital, he just went, you know, everybody hates Jews. And I said, what? And he goes, everybody. They'll pretend they like Jews, but deep down in a room when they're alone, they hate Jews. And I went, all right, Dad. And then he was like, I'm going to go to sleep. Laid down. He didn't die. That wasn't the last words.
But it was close.
But it was close. I mean, it was the last two or three times we spoke. And one of them was just like anti-Semitism.
I assume it was way worse for him than you. I certainly hope.
I don't know. Maybe he was seeing the future.
Hope. Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, it was one of those moments, you know.
So we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Don't give us sad.
No, no, no.
We're not emotionally capable of handling sad.
Too early.
Mm-hmm.
So give us funny last words that you had with somebody that you loved.
Right.
That passed away.
So not like you weren't my kid and I never loved your mother.
Right.
Okay. Well, I can find that funny.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, that might fall into the category of why would someone ever say that? That could be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it has to be funny to you.
Yes. Yeah.
And then hopefully it'll be funny to us.
Yeah.
Carolyn from Corona on the line. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning.
Thank you for listening. Thanks for calling. What was yours?
Okay, so like 4 days before my dad died, he was in and out of it, and probably two days right before he died, my niece was there. She's a CNA. She's changing his diaper. She's changing his sheet, comfortable, right before he dies, and he hadn't said much, but one of the last things we heard him say after she was changing him was that somebody was pulling on his nuts.
So somehow he was caught up in the sheet that was being changed?
Yeah.
So she was changing his diaper. I mean, he was out. Like, this was it for him. But he, you know, he said a few other things after that, maybe like a bye or I even mumbled an I love you.
Right.
But the one thing we all heard, everybody in the room, was that somebody was pulling on his nuts.
Well, I think
that's fantastic.
That's actually something beautiful, and I'm surprised you guys didn't put it on his headstone.
Not only headstone, if that is not on every cake that you guys have at family get-togethers, you're pulling on my nutsack. That's amazing, yeah. Carolyn.
The Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
All right, let's go to Philip. Let's start there in Anaheim. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, everybody.
Funny last words.
So my grandpa, he's kind of the same situation yours was, Kevin. He was slipping in and out, so they put him on life support, but he wanted to be at home. So they had it all set up at home. Well, I was young. I was with my girlfriend at the time. We were all talking about a pool party that we were going to go to, and my girlfriend said, yeah, I don't think I want to go. Last time, so-and-so jumped in, and he got me all wet. Well, my grandpa at the time woke up at that point, looks up and says, nice, chuckles and goes, nice, and looks at me and tells me, attaboy. And then that was it.
Your grandpa was a G.
He's a really nice man.
Nice.
I love him.
Good work, Philip.
Did he live to be 69?
Exactly.
Well done. Thank you for the call. All right. Let's go to Roberta in Pasadena. Good morning, Roberta.
Good morning, guys. All right. Well, my dad passed away in 2005. Now, my dad was a bit of a Casanova.
Mm-hmm.
So there's seven of us total that we know of so far. And before he died, because we had just found one of our brothers, and before he died, he looks over at me and my little sister, and he goes, oh, there might be two more in North Carolina.
Whoa.
So two more siblings somewhere out there. I was like, great.
Your phone's cutting.
Okay. And he goes, he said, can you please go find him? And we were just kind of laughing. We were like, are you serious, or is this just one of your hallucinations? And he's like, no, I think there's two more out there.
Wow, that's insane.
That is crazy.
Go find them. Give me a little bit more to go on.
Yeah.
What the hell? Let's go to Ruben in Long Beach. Good morning, Ruben.
Good morning. My dad passed away in 2014, and when he was in intensive care before he passed away, his nurse was smoking hot. And he looks over to me and says, Ruben, you see the rack on that nurse?
Jeez. Everybody's dying parents are so horned up.
He was appreciating the view. She'd mess with his IV, and his eyes would be bulging like sideways looking down her top.
Wait, she was aware of it then?
I think so, because she, you know, she's one of those nurses that wear really tight. They're all bulging out everywhere.
Right.
Know, breasts are like bulging to wear a tight outfit.
You know, one of those nurses.
You know those guys.
It sounds like a porn movie, but okay.
I don't think we've had the same type of nurses.
Oh, I love that. Did you see the rack on her or something? All right, let's go to Christine, who's calling us from Tustin. Good morning, Christine.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
My grandmother, when she died, so I was in Seattle, and I had just finished college, just moved to Seattle. And my mom called and said, you've got to come now to say goodbye. So I get there, I rush to Burbank, I go to the hospital, and she wakes up and she sees me and she looks at me and says, nobody likes a pain in the ass, so don't be a pain in the ass.
Hmm.
Now,
and
do you think
the last time I saw her.
Do you think that that was just like generic, or was that
no,
tailored to Christine?
That was specifically to me.
Okay. I mean, she's not wrong, Christine.
No, I was the one who had the purple hair and the nose ring and the eyebrow ring and the purple.
But
you know,
none of that means you're a pain in the ass, though.
Yeah, maybe to an older grandma.
Oh, to her I was.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
To her I was.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
You rushed there to hear that.
That's a beautiful saying. Yes. That's like a Maya Angelou
poem. But you
know
what? It was perfect. It was a perfect goodbye because that was kind of our relationship.
All right.
Yeah, great.
That's fantastic.
Nice. Yeah.
Thank you for the call. All right, let's go to Michelle in Cyprus. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
So about 6 months before my dad died, he went out and he bought a new Ford hybrid car. And for different reasons, he was just really unhappy with it. And then for the last 2 months of his life, he was in the hospital and in care centers, and he hadn't even been driving it. But his last words to me were, I should have bought a Prius.
That's insane. He really had buyer's remorse.
I should have bought
a
Prius.
That's great.
That should be an ad.
Right? It should be.
Thank you for the call, Michelle. We appreciate that. Let's go to Ariel in Redondo Beach. Good morning.
Good morning. So my grandpa's last words to anyone in his family were, get the hell out. I want to watch the Angels game.
That's fantastic.
Did he get through the game or did he get to watch the game?
He did get through the game. So he was actually diagnosed with leukemia. From diagnosis to death was less than a month. He was in the hospital. So he's in his hospital room. His daughters, his grandchildren are there. You know, we're trying to be with him. He's like, okay, I'm done. Get the hell out. I want to watch the game. You guys can go home.
And then you never talked to him again?
And then he died during the night.
Aww.
Did the Angels win that game?
I believe the Angels did win that game.
Okay,
so you
good.
Know what? I'm not too disappointed.
Yeah, but he's an Angels fan, so he knows how it ends.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
I heard the voice of a young beer mug in there.
Yes, Bean, you did.
How you doing, buddy?
How you doing?
So weird. That's a microphone, by the way, in front of you. No,
I know,
need to.
Oh,
you don't need to tell him. He's a broadcasting professional.
What? He is. Mugs, a lot of people may know you as the behind-the-scenes guy here on K-Rock.
Sure.
And, of course, you know, we've featured you on the air over the past several years, and you do your cheers with Beer Mug, and you're our man on the street, and they talk to you when they answer the phone. But they may not realize that you have loftier ambitions than just being part of this Dog and Pony Show. You're a star in your own right.
Wow.
Every Thursday night. Am I right?
Wow. I mean, that might be over-exaggerating, but...
Accept it.
Yes, I'm going to take that from the broadcast legend himself, right, once known as Flash Phillips, Bean Baxter.
I was Flash Phillips. That's true. You are a star in your own right on Thursday night. So what happens at midnight or 2 a.m. or something? You come on before our Friday morning show.
Yes. So the midnight Friday morning, I start a 5-hour overnight shift where Kevin Weatherby has given me the reins to talk on the world famous K-Rock.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's a job that, no joke, hundreds of other broadcasters out here would move to Los Angeles to work that shift.
I know, it's pretty special. And like I said, you know, with the legends that have come through K-Rock, like Jed the Fish, Doug the Slug, you, Bean. I mean, you are the man.
You don't have to butter me up. Okay?
Yes, I'm going to keep buttering you up because you are the man when it comes to talking up intros.
I'm also the man who's about to play your air check on the air for everybody to hear, because this is what we're all missing at 3 a.m. when we're not up listening to K-Rock. Mugs on the radio.
106.7 K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock. It is Beer Mug. It's going to be a wonderful night. I'm going to be here with you for 4 more hours. And then the Kevin and Bean Show will be coming in, which I also work for. This is going to be a long day, is what I'm saying.
I feel like you've just begun.
Yeah.
And you're already complaining.
Yeah,
it's already over it.
First talk break, first hour. Wow.
I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I here all night? And then I have to stick around for the stupid morning show.
If I tuned in, I'd be like, this guy is starting a career dilemma that I'm going to listen to over the next 4 hours.
Do you hear how he just gets so deflated as he says that?
Silver Sun Pickups playing Kaboo. What is Kaboo, Brian?
Now wait, who's Brian?
Who's Brian?
And does he have a microphone?
Brian was the board op before me. I relieved him, and he was still sitting in the studio. And as I was trying to find where Silver Sun Pickups were playing, I was frantically flipping through our liner book, and I had no idea where it was. So I decided to look at Brian and ask him.
And he clearly had no response to you.
No, he's picking up his things. He's leaving. He's not sticking with you for your meltdown.
You were not at all prepared to talk about Kaboo at all, right? It's just that you said it and then you thought, oh man, what have I done?
What gave you that impression?
What is Kaboo, Brian? I found it. September 13th through the 15th. More info, go to karaoke.com.
Do you also feel, this is kind of a Radio 101 question, but do you also feel if there's 48 seconds at the beginning of a song, you have to use it all?
No, and that's the golden rule that Kevin will tell you. He says you don't have to talk up the entire intro. You can let it breathe. But
well, you did not follow that advice because it sounded like you were just going to keep going until they started singing.
And I'm curious, is there even a Brian? I mean, let's really tackle
very
this.
Very well could have not been.
He
I don't
picks
know.
Up his hand and it has a mouth drawn on it.
All right, here's more mugs.
It's 106.7 K-Rock. Now, the whole Leaving Neverland thing, do you...
No.
Let's bring the mood up with Leaving Neverland.
Somebody's leaving the club. Turns on K-Rock.
No. So Muggs is going to do his pedophilia chunk now for people listening in the middle of the night. Let's see where this goes.
The whole Leaving Neverland thing. Do you boycott bands that have covered Michael Jackson, too, if you're on the side of the accusers?
Oh, no, not Alien anymore.
So that's where he was going.
Oh, yes.
Now, is that a legitimate question? I think it sort of is.
Yeah,
I mean, he wrote the song.
It is, but the dramatic pause that the alien ant form coming in, I can't. Oh, he thinks he nailed it.
I do like the idea that Alien Ant Farm now comes out to that song and does a small tight five about should we do this song? And everyone gets very excited.
Muggs, we've only heard like 40 seconds of this and you're already a national treasure.
Oh, so good.
All right, here's some more.
106.7 K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock. It is Beer Mug, one Los Angeles band. That was Bad Flower. Song called Promise Me, and to another Los Angeles band, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Huh. I like it. Los Angeles. I love you.
Oh, we got sexy mugs.
Little
love note.
Contemplative mugs.
To the smooth sounds of KROQ.
But you see, I mean, that's a pro talking there, guys, because he modulates his voice compared to, you know, in symphony with what the song is doing.
Sure.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. It's very well done, Mugs.
Thank you.
That was new K-Rock alternative rock from Catfish and the Bottlemen called Long Shot. Right now, this is Pennywise with F Authority, and I'm going to say F my credit card company.
Okay, wait, what?
What's happening?
Is this late in the night? I mean,
this is the last hour.
Okay.
This is the final hour.
And what, are you checking your balance or something during the song?
I had a little issue last week.
On the tape, Mugs. It's on the tape. Here we go.
How is it my fault if the app charges me 10 times on one payment and I can't get my money until next week?
Okay, now what are the listeners to do with this information?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was more venting than anything. Mm-hmm. And if it's one thing I've learned, you know, relatability is the key for a listener to tune in. So maybe they're having credit card issues and problems that I wouldn't.
Pennywise says F authority. I say F my credit card. Are you with me? All right, I think there's one more.
106.7 K-Rock, Elliot OC's alternative rock. That was New Interrupters. Gave You Everything. That's such a great song. Amy Interrupter, by the way. She's so sweet. Such a sweet, sweet young lass. And back to my credit card thing.
Oh, man, I wasn't done. I was not finished.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Listen, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's that time. Keep it 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Before we get to who is Texter 100, Allie, tell us who came close.
There can only be one, but some great texters just missed out. Texter 99. Angel from Santa Fe Springs wanted to hear Vaseline by STP.
Would have been good.
Love that song. Also just missing out. Oh, I feel for you. Texter 101. Alex from the 323. He wanted to hear Pearl Jam's Corduroy, which I love. But there can only be one Texter 100. And that honor goes to John from Valencia. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
John, what do you have planned for the weekend, bud?
You know, actually, I'm taking my kids to go see Disney on Ice tomorrow.
Oh, sweet. You're going to get wasted?
I might have to. So much more enjoyable.
I understand.
It is lovely. You're going to love it. Your kids are going to love it. Are you sticking with a Christmas-type theme with your pick?
Absolutely.
All right. Holiday season.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Tell them what it is.
All right, it's my favorite band. I know a lot of K-Rock's favorite band, Blink-182. I won't be home for Christmas.
Nice.
Go get him a Disney on Ice. This is K-Rock.
All right,
keep it 100.
It's Christmas time again. It's time to be nice to the people you can't stand. All year, I'm growing tired of all this Christmas cheer. You people scare me. Please stay away from my home. If you don't want to get me down, just leave the presents and then leave me alone.
Keep it 100.
That was Blink-182, Won't Be Home for Christmas, for our Keep It 100. And Allie, this is the time where we ask you what year the song first came out in.
I feel like with this song, it's difficult because you really hear it during Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So it can get very confusing. I know it originally came out early 2000s, but then it has resurgence every Christmas. So it's difficult for me to pinpoint.
This feels like a filibuster?
2001 or 2002.
Well, you're going to have to select one.
Maybe even 2000, but I feel like it's 2002. Final answer, 2002.
Well, normally I don't come up with the year, so I didn't have it up.
Okay, cool.
So let me tell
this
you exactly.
Going well?
Let me tell you exactly what year it is. It is 2001.
I mean, if you're not going to actually do the homework and the effort, you literally had people waiting while you Googled it, Jensen.
These are people. This is someone who's mad she lost, and now she can't handle it.
I'm lashing out.
That was Keep It 100.
Keep It 100.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
I think I understood half of what Steve-O has told us so far.
But it ended right before went on with, I might do a rap redemption, which are the only words that I care about, because Steve-O is making a rap album, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know about a whole album.
Steve-O, look, we love you and you know that, but you don't strike me as a guy with flow.
Yeah, I don't. I have no flow.
Okay. None. All right. Good. How did the project start then, where you said, I'm going to make a rap album?
My buddy was making a movie, a National Lampoon movie called TV the Movie. And it was just a series of sketches which were parodies of TV shows.
Okay.
All right.
And I did a spoof of MTV Cribs. And I was like, okay, come on in and you'll be the it'll play like I forgot that MTV Cribs was coming, and they catch me at a really bad time.
Sure, of course.
And I'm swimming in a sea of nitrous oxide canisters, and I'm out of my mind, just super loaded, and I'm saying, I've been out of the picture, but I'm coming back with a rap album, and I recorded this, like, deliberately awful rap song.
Right.
And played it for the MTV Cribs crew. It all was really pretty hilarious. And I ended up getting a deal with Universal Records.
In real life.
What?
Right, and it would have been super funny if I just, like, made awful music and put it out as a joke. But then,
a lot of other artists are doing it.
And, it was just really crazy because I was at the lowest point. You know, this was at the end of my run.
The lowest point of your life
with
drugs
and alcohol.
Everything.
Yeah, with drugs and alcohol. And now I'm making this rap album and just doing even more drugs.
But you had enlisted some big names, right?
Uh-huh. I had... The artists I recorded songs with: Be Real,
awesome.
Oh my God,
MOP, and they're more like kind of hardcore, but MOP is epic. Cool G Rap, I did a song with them.
How is this possible?
He's Steve-O.
I had Daz and Corrupt.
No.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And this hasn't seen the light of the day.
Album, yeah, the actual album never came out, but just on, like, in a drug fueled bender. I put some of the content just online myself.
Oh, no, because that's what Universal wants.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Oh, and in the form of a mixtape where I just blatantly attacked the Universal, the very people that gave me the deal.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, they're trying to tell me not to do certain things on the album. And I'm like, well, F you.
Wow.
And here it
is. Nothing but good decisions.
So if you're doing the math, this was 2007, and you've now been sober 11 years.
Correct.
Okay, makes sense.
Right.
Congratulations on that, first of all. That's amazing.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So I just recently got this camper van, and it doubles as a traveling studio, and, like, it's really exciting, this top-of-the-line camper van. These people, Recon Campers, make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, man, you know, my appearance on Kevin and Bean is pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to drive my camper van over, and I'm going to sleep in it on their property.
Just to wait for your appearance here, and then you would set an alarm and get up and come down?
Right, to sleep here. So I drove here. About 1 in the morning last night.
Okay.
Go up on the top level of your parking structure. I had Wendy, my dog, and, like, I popped the top up and I blacked out all the windows, and I'm all
perfect night, ready to go.
Snuggled up and going to bed, and then bump, 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 bump. This guy who is really in love with his job.
Oh, no. And we'll refer to him as Paul Blart, I assume.
Yeah, So, I took off, man.
Wait, so
he made you leave.
He kicked you out?
He made me leave. He says there's no overnight parking. And I was just a bit discombobulated, you know, like I was on the verge of being deep asleep.
Right.
And I should have told him, dude, I came here at like 1 in the morning, bub. It's not overnight. I just got here a little early.
You're just early for your parents. That's all. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Yeah,
and you told him who you were.
Well, I didn't. I just said.
Did he not know?
I just said I'm going to be on the radio.
I assume a lot of people know who you are by sight. Did he?
I would. I
probably
not. I don't even think so. Yeah, I'm not sure that he was really American.
Okay.
Why couldn't Wendy take him down, man? Why isn't your dog better trained?
That's a great question. I forget.
So he made you leave, and that's like...
And then I went...
How many, $20 or something to get out?
$21.
So where'd you go?
I just went home and got in bed.
Oh, Steve-o. Man, trying to be so responsible.
I know. And I really am so responsible.
You had a story that you made a reference to on your social media recently. And forgive me if this is old, but I don't think that I know it.
The skin grafts.
How did Mike Tyson break your nose?
How did
Iron Mike break your nose?
The best story ever.
That's got some tough competition for
right?
me.
Yes. This one's really, really good.
Okay.
I first met Mike Tyson 2005 at a house party. We locked ourselves in the bathroom and just ripped through 5 grams of cocaine.
Okay.
Hours locked up in this bathroom.
That was your introduction to him?
Pretty much,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
The next time I spent meaningful time with Mike, we were locked up together in a psychiatric ward.
Well, that's very different.
Right. And the whole time that we were in the psychiatric ward, I was telling him, Mike, man, let's film a stunt together. It's called the Black Eye Game. And what I want to do is I want to hold out my fist. Oh, no, sorry. You hold out your fist.
Uh-huh.
You keep your elbow locked, Mike. And then so he holds out his fist and I run into it with my face. And
how many steps would that be before you came up with that idea, B?
In a million
never.
Years. I could live with Mike Tyson till we both died and I would never want to run into his fist.
Well, the Black Eye Game has had many sort of variations. And I think the ultimate one was the Mike Tyson Black Eye Game. And well, at that time in the psychiatric ward, neither of us were in very good shape. It just wasn't.
Well, I would imagine.
It wasn't in the cards.
Right.
So fast forward.
Imagine you're there. You're in a psychiatric hospital, and a guy goes, just lock your arm, and I'll run into it with my face.
Yeah.
He probably thought, this dude really needs to be here.
I remember he said.
I need to get out.
He said, I don't want to hurt you, Steve. And so fast forward to 2011, and And we both got booked to be on the Charlie Sheen roast. Right?
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we both had the same agent who booked us. So now I just full court press. Yeah, Same idea.
Lock your arm, I'll run into your fist.
Yeah, okay. Hold your fist out, lock your elbow, and let me run into it. Comedy Central loved the idea. The agent loved the idea. So we got enough pressure on him. He said, okay, I'll do it. So I showed up at the Charlie Sheen roast with a crooked nose. I dove into Mike Tyson's fist, and he broke it so significantly that it was, like, quite literally parked under my right eye.
Oh, my God.
Gushing blood. And this was the last thing that happened on the stage at the Charlie Sheen roast. So I've got this mangled nose, and it's gushing blood. Now the show's over. Everybody's getting up and starting to leave. This guy in the crowd, he screams, Steve-O, Steve-O. Like, gets my attention. He says, your nose needs to be set right now, which adds up with what the doctor had told me.
Right.
So he says, he comes rushing over. He says,
I'm sorry, this is a guy in the crowd.
A guy in the crowd at the Charlie Sheen roast.
Okay.
He says, your nose needs to be set right now. Then he goes on to say, I'm a kung fu instructor. I've set, he says, I've set like 20 broken noses. I know what I'm doing. And so I just trusted this guy. Because
see, I knew it. Like, that's where you and I are different.
Going to the hospital sounded like a real pain in the tush.
Well, of course it is.
You know, it would have been inconvenient. I knew that from what the doctor said.
I'm some kung fu guy trying to straighten it out.
But, dude, I had so little to lose, man. Like, he could not have made it look any worse. My face was such an unbelievable mess at this point. It was parked under my right eye.
Oh, my God.
There was only improvement to be made. So I sat on the edge of the stage, and this kung fu dude puts a thumb on either side of my nose and just wrenches it. It was the most painful.
Oh.
I mean, it hurt more than actually diving into Mike Tyson's fist. But by the time this kung fu dude was done, my nose was completely straight. I mean, before and after photos demonstrate that my Mike Tyson kung fu nose job was the most unbelievable success, and it was completely for free, and it's the coolest way you could ever break your nose, plus I really needed it.
Coolest way coolest way to break your nose and get it reset, both.
Correct.
Bean, I know we're late, but we have a couple of really quick clips of Steve-O's rap song. Do you want to hear that?
This one?
Yes, we do.
I smoked PCP to the point where I blacked out and destroyed Fame from MOP studio. And remember, that's like the hardcore, like really
right.
Scary gangster rap guys.
Nice work. Here we go.
All right, now it's like
summer 2007.
I'm not on PCP there. That's where I'm narrating this.
You're narrating, okay.
Yeah. In the woods and
upstate New York at Mafia Mike's house, just smoking more PCP than a horse could handle. Probably, anyway. So I figured, hell, I haven't seen who kidding so long. I mean, I don't even know if he's alive. But I'm gonna make tracks. I'm heading to the Fame Studio. Boy, am I on PCP tonight. I'm gonna make a funny ass ODB tribute song called Down with STD. How do you like this for a rap album, ladies and gentlemen?
Wow.
What?
Wow.
The hell?
Well, we ended strong. Thanks, Steve-O.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Introducing rock and roll.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Like my search history, yeah. See like, you know, creepy mannequin like Ricky and be like, what's happening here? What's wrong with her?
That's best case scenario for you.
What?
Best case scenario for you. What just happened? Sorry, I have a cough drop in my mouth.
That was a moment with Kevin.
He's here in spirit.
Whew.
Here in spirit.
I feel like we need another run at that because you have to understand that as he said it, mm-hmm. he didn't realize it was weird until our reaction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, play it again.
So play it again. Mm-hmm.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Like my search history, yeah. See like, you know, creepy mannequin like Ricky and be like, what's happening here? What's wrong with her?
That's best case scenario for you.
What?
Best case scenario for you. What just happened? Sorry, I have a cough drop in my mouth.
I mean,
that was a moment with Kevin.
It's beautiful.
Recipes
for okay. reals. It's cool. The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, and it's Friday. Uh-huh. We're starting to end the show, which yeah. means only one thing.
Mele kaliki make.
Amen.
It is the last What's Happening. Allie, tell us what's going on.
Guys, I saw this tweet, and I thought, you're a monster.
Mm-hmm.
It's by shenanigans_love, L-U-V.
You think that's the real name?
That's her real name. Okay. Yeah, shenanigans love. She wrote, I don't know who needs to hear this, but you can put two or three fitted sheets on your bed at a time and just remove the top one when it's dirty instead of always folding them and putting them away.
Hmm.
What?
Sleeping on three?
Yes. So then when you go to wash your sheets, you just take off the top one. The second one's already there.
No. Still the same amount of work, really. Just you don't have to do them at different times.
Absolutely. And some people were saying, oh, this is next level brilliant. And then other people were like, you don't sweat? You don't think the one under it is dirty? Like, it is so wrong.
That's like, you know what? Wear three coats.
Yes.
Because then when you want to wear another coat, you just take off the one. It's like, no, dude, it's too many coats.
This guy wrote next level, and then the response to him was, something soaked through to the next level.
Oh!
Yeah. She's a sociopath.
I mean,
a bitch.
Ma'am. No.
No.
But then I saw another tweet. We're getting into sheets, people.
Mm-hmm.
Sheet talk.
Sheets, what's up?
What's up? That said, do people really use the top sheet? So you put on the fitted sheet.
Yes.
Then you've got another sheet. Then you've got your comforter or duvet. And I was like, of course we use the top sheet.
Yeah.
Apparently, less and less people are using the top sheet. They're just putting fitted sheet. Comforter.
Do they live in a dorm?
That's my question. And my question also is, what about that in-between stage where it's not hot, but it's also not cold, but you need a little covering?
Yeah.
And by a little covering, because of the monsters and the vampires that are going to tickle your feet.
Well, I had you till then. But absolutely. Okay. This is a weird thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like you live in a Bed Bath & Beyond just because you have a top sheet.
No, it comes in a set.
Yeah, and it's easy.
And what are they doing? Are they throwing away the top sheet?
You know, it's the easiest thing to place onto the bed,
really. You just lay it on top.
Yeah.
And then other people were saying, no, it's too restricting with the top sheet. What is happening?
Well, release the bottom. Everyone knows that.
Well, yeah, we're
Don't
not in a hotel.
In yeah, and even in a hotel, release it.
What's happening with people in sheets? Muggs, top sheet.
No.
Oh, my
What are
gosh.
You doing, Muggs? You're disgusting.
I knew it. I knew we'd find one.
No.
You're a monster. Why?
It's pointless.
It is not pointless.
It is.
It's used for sure. Based on you being cold, it's a great addition. And on top of that, it's just a nice, it's almost a nice, it's like a dimmer. Like, you're too hot and you can just dim it down a little by pulling it down a bit.
Yeah, but then it always gets, like, bunched up, like, when you're sleeping and it's, like, down by your feet and you're just like, oh, I got to pull the top sheet back. It's just too much work.
Canceled.
No, get out of here.
Too much work for mugs.
Too much work.
It's too much work.
Do you have a duvet cover?
I do.
That technically is too much work. A duvet cover it is too much work.
Do you wash the duvet cover?
Like once a month.
No, you don't. You're such a liar. How often do you wash the duvet cover?
Probably every 2 years.
I love it. I would have been shocked once a year. So I feel like you finally told the truth.
We're very clean. I don't think we do it once a month. I wash it once every 2 or 3 months.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, once every 2 years. That was great. You are a gift.
Thank you for being honest.
I love it so very much. You guys, reports say Amazon has paid a pretty penny for the rights to a documentary about the life of Rihanna. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the streaming giant paid $25 million for the untitled documentary. Here's where some of the paycheck goes to, I believe. It's directed by Peter Berg.
Yeah, in her weed budget.
Okay,
sure.
All right.
Pretty high.
They have more than 1,200 hours of footage that will offer insight into the singer's personality, sense of humor, work ethic, family, and love. I'm excited for that because I feel like she's a very private person.
Mm-hmm.
So any look into her life, we're going to learn something new about Rihanna.
I think it's going to be good because you know what they say about documentaries.
What?
Every footage is like a story.
Mm-hmm. So
for years they've said that.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
Okay, excellent. Guys, Shazam 2 is happening. And we have a release date. It's not a joke, you guys. Mm-hmm. April 1st, 2022. Zachary Levi reportedly back on board to star. A lot of Warner Brothers release dates recently. We know that the Black Adam film in the works starring The Rock is supposed to begin shooting next year. We've got Warner Brothers announcing the DC titled The Flash is going to be in theaters July 1st, 2022. Also, The Matrix, May 21st, 2021. You know what else comes out May 21st, 2021?
What?
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't make sense.
What's going on?
What?
This article says both John Wick Chapter 4 and Matrix 4 will be released May 21st, 2020.
What's going on?
Not 2021.
I'm confused now.
Well, let's get the news person in here. Let's get the what's happening person.
That's me.
Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, I
didn't notice this discrepancy.
Hmm.
One of them has the wrong date, you guys.
What's going on?
Who? Tell me really quick which one. We'll call them. We'll get this all situated when we're off air.
Uh-huh.
This is really important.
Okay.
What? Who has the wrong date?
It's 2021.
Okay.
It's 2021.
2021. This article has the wrong date.
What's the point?
I bring it up.
It should have a point or something.
It never does. Mm-hmm. I bring it up because both films will be released on the first day.
Okay.
On the same day, which will be called Keanu Reeves Day.
Great. Mm. Good one.
Long slide to home.
I'm happy we
is what the kids are calling it, you guys. And a real bummer for anyone that enjoyed Brockmire. What a joy that show is. IFC confirmed that the comedy Brockmire, starring Hank Azaria and Amanda Peet, will end after 4 seasons. The final 8-episode season will premiere in March. That show is really good.
The thing that'll get hurt the most is Bean pulling drops.
A lot of drops.
He pulled so many drops from Brockmire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's dead, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. They died together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still another season, 8
Rest
episodes that will premiere in March. Mm-hmm. So somebody on this show that's Bean-like
can pull drops.
Should probably pull drops.
Do you care?
Muggs, I'm talking about you.
Oh, all right.
Imagine if Muggs was Bean-like?
Oh, God.
Oh.
You're you're Bean-unlike.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Guys, let's talk about some birthdays.
Oh, let's.
Jamie Foxx, Dick Van Dyke, Tom DeLonge, Morris Day, Taylor Swift, and Steve Buscemi.
Hmm.
Right? You know what a lot of people think?
What? Got his eyes?
Steve Buscemi is one of those guys that's like weird looking but highly doable.
But would, yeah.
Dude,
have you seen a picture of him when he was a New York firefighter?
No.
Like young Steve Buscemi?
Yeah.
Dude, I would do him.
Into it?
Oh, nice. In his turnout? Oh.
Yeah. Turnout gear can make anyone look hot. But Steve Buscemi, really?
Yeah. Did you know he was a New York firefighter?
I did.
He's all young and stuff.
This is young Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
I'm showing you a picture right now.
Well, there's another one. That quite doesn't do it.
Okay.
That,
yeah.
But,
by the way, your quote, Muggs, right there, was, he was all young and stuff. That was like a tan and stuff. That was excellent.
He'd make cute babies because, you know, he was all young and stuff.
Steven's all tan and stuff. All right, guys.
Is that what's happening?
No, we're just going to end it because that's what's happening.
Okay, great. Okay. Listen, hey, on your drive home today, listen to Stryker and Klein's commercial free-for-all, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. And we'll be back, at least by Will, I'll be back next week. See you then.
The Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.